You're with SBS Radio.
A legal principal, a national leader in migration services, Maria Jokel, is the legal principal and national leader of BDO Migration Services, an incorporated immigration legal practice which specializes in all aspects of Australian immigration law for corporate and private clients. I happened to meet Maria in different occasions, and I felt that this is now the time. On the way to elections very soon is to hear about Australia's standpoint, about the future, and about this unbelievable multicultural nation, Australia. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you, Eitan, and hello, listeners.
Thank you so much. Maria, what a story. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your background, your Jewish heritage as a mixed heritage, as one of the many millions of Australians who migrated to Australia following the Second World War.
My family came here as refugees at a time when Australia had more liberal policies, but that was another time. I came here with my mother and brother, and we found out late in life that my mother had a Jewish heritage. She did not know that. She had been brought up in a household with a stepmother, and she was sent to the German camps. She survived, and she came back, and it was only late in life that she actually found out the true heritage of her own background.
And you know, it's interesting that you're humbly telling about your mixed heritage, and in a way, when you think about the Jewish people in Israel, you have in my case a Moroccan father who was born in Israel, but his father came from Morocco, and I have a Polish mother who moved this kind of gathering of the exiles that in fact was created by the Second World War and the horrible things that happened in Europe. And you know, Maria, you have been a lawyer for over three decades. So what is it that you want to achieve at this stage of your career in your current role as the legal principal and managing director at a very prestigious migration services?
Eitan, I think the world has changed dramatically, and Australia is a nation of immigrants. It always will, and I believe will always have a migration program. The challenges that I find as an immigration lawyer now is the extraordinary demand for entry to Australia and the changed nature of the world, Brexit, Trumpism, the fact that there are over 65 million people outside of their countries of border, more than during the Second World War, who are looking to relocate either as refugees or as part of the global movement of business and people and goods across borders. So it's against that background that I continue to feel very passionately about being, hopefully, humbly perhaps, one of Australia's leading immigration lawyers, with a total passion and commitment to trying to help my clients, be they corporate or individuals. And in this context, obviously, I have the privilege of leading BDO Migration Services, and to hopefully over time mentor and coach other young lawyers who really want to dedicate their careers to what is really nation building, because immigration is nation building, and I believe it will continue to be.
A minute pause before we continue, and I just wanted to ask you if you can define a legal law expert in migration to compare, let's say, with an agent. You have so many courses, you have so many achievers who are agents, but there is something in you that I follow that is a trendsetting, is something special. You write, you're an author of papers, and you are flowing with the reality of migration in this beautiful country.
Eitan, having stumbled into immigration law, and when I became a specialist in it, I decided I wanted to be the best I could. So through hard work and application and a bit of luck, I've made it a point of trying to understand more and more and more about the various challenges and opportunities that this area of law presents. I don't think the public know that since 1994, the government has created over 500,000 pages of migration legislation, regulation, policy and guidance to its decision makers, and that there are an associate 250,000 pages to do with Australian citizenship. So the complexity is there, which obviously is of great interest to me as a lawyer, as is the fact that I try and keep up with the nature and extent of the demand for entry to Australia. Few would know that as of, I think, about November 2017, the department was then receiving over 30,000 applications each day worldwide across a migration program which is incredibly complex and constantly changes. So it's against this that I hope, through both leading BDO Migration Services, but in helping my clients and helping young lawyers to become as good as they can, that there's this not only an extraordinary need for people who can do their very best in this complex jurisdiction, but there's also a need to understand how challenging the globe is and why we have this push-pull dynamic in regard to immigration and what this means for both lawyers and agents who are non-lawyers and the Australian community generally.
You know, people with excellent background are knocking on the doors of Australia, and we are living global business and global movement of people, money and goods across borders. And we know, for example, the flow of Israeli migrants from Israel, from Startup Nation, where they see a limited opportunities, the competition is amazing. And I don't think that I have to exclude also political events that occurred, which have helped to shape government commitment to implementing ongoing reforms. And I would like to ask you, after hearing that Australian National University did a study where only 30% of Australians were in favor of more migration, can we get your input on that one? It is a very interesting phenomena to see so many excellent people waiting to move to Australia, but it's still very difficult.
Eitan, if the Australian public were to understand the demand for entry, whether they're migrants or not, I think they would actually become overwhelmed, because we're a vast nation. Only 2% of Australia is populated. Our population fits into the city of Beijing. We've only got 25 million people and 12.5 million workers, and yet most recently, the Department of Home Affairs delivered over 9 million visa and citizenship services recently. So this push-pull dynamic for wanting people wanting to come into Australia, but the Department of Home Affairs having to decide who can come in and who cannot, is very, very challenging, as is the congestion that we're experiencing, particularly in cities such as Melbourne and Sydney, the changing face of Australia, because we're part of the Asian century. All of these things come together so that people start to feel, well, maybe we don't favour migration as much as we did historically. It's a challenging question to answer, but it indicates that as part of a global trend, there has been a move to protecting and in some cases closing borders. And the Australian government's dilemma is how it can best deal with competing priorities, and also at a time when the world is in a state of disruption. We've still got jihadism, we've got a lot of terrorism, and there are challenges in terms of how this very multicultural society can grow and live together peaceably for the common good and in accordance with what we must see as Australian values.
Maria, one of preparing for the interview, you told me in a couple of amazing stories about dealing with issues to do with health and for people who move to Australia. How could you take it upon you, and what a challenge?
Well, anyone who's done a visa to Australia will generally know that you've got to meet the health requirements. It's one of the criteria. One of my great, I think, greatest areas of satisfaction is that I've achieved some extraordinary results for clients in very, very difficult circumstances. Currently, I'm dealing with a lady who's quite young, who's had a double lung transplant. We want to keep her here on a partner visa. Previously, I just had a lady who was doing a 457 visa, and she had to have an X-ray. She found out she had lung cancer. Another lass who was a student doing a master's from another part of the world, Asia, at the age of 26, found out that she had stage 4 metastasized breast cancer. And I've achieved, I think, all of these people I've been able to help with efficacy and in accordance with the legal system. But probably my most memorable case, and this is to the great credit of the department, was when I was able to bring in a Down syndrome boy at a significant cost to the Australian community, where the Department of Home Affairs, or its predecessor, actually enabled him to get out of Donetsk in the Ukraine during the civil disturbance, and waived the fact that his parents had actually committed a migration fraud by never declaring his existence when they got permanent residence. So these are some of the very challenging aspects of immigration that I feel very privileged to be doing. I don't seek them out. I wouldn't be able to do them very often. They're very challenging. But it also tells you that health criteria is very important, and Australia, in its compassion, does allow some people in, even though they do not meet the health criteria.
Maria, you know, before you in the Hebrew part of the program, I interviewed a kid by the name of Julio Chinkshian Yehuda, a kid from Adelaide, who was a son of Professor Gilad Zuckerman, the linguistic specialist from University of Adelaide, and his mom, Jay, who is a business lady, a Chinese background, who graduated in a British university. And the boy speaks three languages, and the impact of migration in, say, the last three decades. How do you see Australia of tomorrow, the issue of identity, the multicultural amazing place here?
A very complex question, Eitan, and I don't think that there's any ready answer. I think that Australia is striving to make the best of what is really an experiment. It's what America did at the turn of the 19th century. It is to bring in and grow a nation which is extremely diverse. I think we have well over 200 ethnic groups, religions, and the sense of identity is this, that I think Australia allows us to self-identify. We can retain our heritage. That's not the issue, but we must comply with the rules of law, the fact that it's a Westminster system, that English is the dominant language, that we aspire to have certain values, which include, obviously, gender equality, equal opportunity, the rule of law, complying and respecting one another. This is the big challenge that we have as a nation, because of the fact that we are so heterogeneous and so complex, and the world's borders are now fluid and people can come in and out, and there's always these security and other issues that we grapple with as a nation. So identity is vital to getting a visa. Identity is vital to one's sense of self, and one's sense of identity when you migrate to Australia, I think, has to be, I have been given the opportunity to live here. How can I show that I am the best Australian I can be if I've got the privilege of, for example, citizenship, whilst also not denying my heritage?
Thank you so much, Maria Jokel. legal principal and one of Australia's leading immigration specialists, joining me on SBS Radio, the radio of over 80 languages. Thank you so much. And in Hebrew, toda rabah.
Thank you.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.